Vice Mayor of Santa Rosa, Chris Rogers, is with us. Good morning, Chris.
Morning, Pat. How you doing?
I am well. I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow night at the Roxy Theater when we premiere Urban Inferno. And I'm really interested to see how you and how all the people in the audience feel about it after you see it.
You know, I am too, Pat. And you've assured me it ends with hope, which I think is what most of us are really working tours right now.
Absolutely.
So long as you deliver on that, I'll feel good about the movie.
Yes, it is. It's powerful. It's not the kind of thing that you want to dance out of the theaters about. It's just not that experience. But I think it's true to the experience. And I guess this comes as a surprise to no one that the city of Santa Rosa is joining the lawsuits against PG&E because of the October fires. Why now, Chris, and not wait until the Tubbs Fire report is released by Cal Fire?
You know, we've been discussing this off and on for months in closed session, trying to figure out what is the appropriate time or avenue. And what the city council really felt like is that we needed to pursue every single option we had available to make our community whole, to rebuild, to hold people accountable and make the actual changes that need to be made so that this doesn't happen again. And we were waiting primarily for that Cal Fire report. And when we saw one a couple of weeks come out that showed that PG&E was liable for, I believe it was 13 of the other fires in the area, we felt reasonably confident that now is the time for us to join the lawsuit. Now is the time for us as the big fish who had the most deaths and had the most property damage to come in and really help steer that conversation in a way that is productive. So not just putting PG&E out of business, which is not what we want to do, but actually coming to the table and forcing them to make changes that will make things safer and make our community feel as though they've been properly compensated for any liable instances.
Yeah, it's it's such an interesting circumstance we find ourselves in. Of course, you know, as a city leader, you must be thinking about not just our community as individuals, but also how the city will recover from not just this year or next year, but in the many years to come from the fires. And so that's a piece of the puzzle. I'll tell you, I feel a tiny bit at odds with myself about this whole issue. And I agree, when it comes to the powers that be at PG&E, who, for all intents and purposes, have repeated circumstances where people have been put in jeopardy, I'm all for making sure, number one, that they pay for it, number two, that they enact those changes that you're talking about, and number three, that we don't have to pay for it in the end, that we don't have to pay for all the liability. And yet, I think you'll agree with me about this, the rank and file of PG&E continue to be our heroes, because we were the ones, I know I was one of the ones, cheering like crazy when we saw, a caravan of PG&E workers re-enter our neighborhoods and make us able to go home again toward the end of October. So, I feel like I have to really separate the rank and file PG&E from the powers that be.
Yeah, and I think the question that I keep hearing from constituents over and over again, and it's a fair question and it's a fundamental question, is, why should we socialize the liability in an instance like this if we have privatized the cost or the gain to shareholders?
Yeah,
it's a fair question. What we are doing is we are looking very closely at San Diego Gas and Electric, that had two massive fires of their own, the last one being in 2007, and the way that it had forced a culture change and forced new safety mechanisms on San Diego Gas and Electric that are state-of-the-art, that are weather mapping, that take many precautions throughout the community. We're looking at that to see if we can do the same thing. And I know PG&E has already moved forward with some policy changes that will have drawbacks. For example, potentially taking energy off the grid during red flag warnings.
Right.
That means that our community will end up without power for a certain amount of time, but it means that we'll be safer. We're talking about these policies. I believe that they're moving towards a 24/7 staffing model around emergency preparedness. These are good steps, but we need to make sure that we are continuing to push to actually deliver what we've seen works effectively elsewhere and what is the absolute best practices for addressing these issues in a state where we know that climate change is going to make these incidents worse.
There are two things that make me want to tear my hair out about this whole issue, Chris. And one of them is what's going on in Sacramento. And I know that many of our local leaders who represent us in Sacramento have been working tirelessly on, you know, new bills, et cetera, that would protect us even further from, you know, insurance companies who are not paying up in a lot of circumstances, and even trying to make right, you know, the retroactive circumstances for people involved and affected by the fires. And those efforts are, it seems like, thwarted at almost every turn by either the insurance companies themselves or by the other members of state representatives who live in districts that don't get wildfires and are not, you know, jumping on the bandwagon to help out their fellow counties. It drives me crazy.
No, you're absolutely right. And I will say where this conversation diverges is at least we see attempts by PG&E and by policymakers to make the necessary changes to prevent this from happening in the future. Whereas when it comes to insurance, we know exactly what our constituents have gone through that don't work. And insurance companies that are willing to fight with hundreds of thousands of dollars in Sacramento to make sure that no changes come from this massive fire.
Yep.
And our, as you mentioned, our representatives in Sacramento have our backs. They've been pushing and pushing and pushing, but to no avail in a lot of places because the insurance industry has such a strong grip on primarily the Banking and Insurance Committee, where most of these bills go through and get watered down.
And I understand the fact of life nature of that and of the power of the insurance companies, but it makes me want to dismantle the whole process because, you know, how do we fight against that kind of influence?
Yeah, and I think that the number one way we talk again and again is figuring out how to take money out of politics. I think that we can't make people care about constituents outside of their district. That's rarely going to happen. But I will tell you, this is going to continue to happen across the state, and more and more districts are going to be affected. And at some point, we'll have a critical mass to make those changes.
I absolutely agree with you. And of course, the bottom line for many people for all of this, whether we were, you know, directly affected by the fires or not, is how dare anyone even consider the notion that we here in Sonoma County ought to pay for PG&E's potential liability. I mean, it's outrageous.
There is a committee that has been propped up to deal with this sort of an issue and the liability issue. And I will tell you, we do have two of our members on the committee, in particular, Jim Wood, whose assembly district was hit extremely hard by the district. And in fact, he represents both Fountain Grove and Coffee Park, has been assigned to the committee and has been very strong and very clear with the speaker that any conversation about liability stops the moment that anything becomes retroactive, that anytime it will affect our constituents, he will blow the process up. And we need that kind of a strong hand on that committee.
Yeah, it is definitely a part of the solution. And, you know, I understand, and because I'm one of them, you know, all the hand wringing and the exasperation and all of that stuff. And I know that definitely the folks who work for us in Sacramento are doing their best. Let's get to something a little lighter, shall we?
Sounds good, Pat.
How are the plans coming along for the 150th anniversary and birthday of the city of Santa Rosa?
I'm really looking forward to it, Pat. And in particular, we've been having a conversation about what goes in the time capsule that'll be put in the square. Do you have anything that you're submitting?
Oh, yes, definitely. I have my Chris Rogers autograph that I got, I think, last year, 1 month, that I'm thinking about putting in there. We want to do a broadcast. We want to do a broadcast to put in there.
I think that'd be a fantastic idea. I think I'm going to put a letter in there. about one person's perspective, being a young person growing up in Sonoma County right now, who has seen Santa Rosa grow from a farm town into the city that it is today. So lots of perspectives.
I think that would be fantastic. What a great addition to the time capsule that would be. How big is this thing, the time capsule?
If it's not big enough, we'll make it bigger.
Okay. All right. So it could turn out to be like a SpaceX rocket-sized time capsule.
Well, I have heard that we could do the entire square, just lift it up and put one giant time capsule under it. I'm in favor of that as well, Pat.
Oh, very good. You and Elon Musk have been talking, and I can tell.
Yeah,
he's capable of just about everything. Well, it is going to be a great celebration. And, you know, all of the celebrations that we have over the course of the next few months, I think, are going to be noteworthy, including this one.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have to say, I heard you had Peter Rumble on right before me. The new district that was passed last night is going to enhance a lot of that downtown programming, including that celebration. I'm really looking forward to what they can do now with a proper budget.
We all have a lot of faith in the CBD, babe.
Absolutely.
And here I thought it was cannabidol. What's it called? Cannabidiol. Yeah, the cannabis product.
We don't have to distinguish between the two. I think people can just be happy with them and love both of them.
Absolutely. There's room for everyone. Chris, thanks for being here this morning. We'll see you tomorrow night.
All right. Take care, Pat.
All right. That is Vice Mayor Chris Rogers of Santa Rosa talking about lots of things, making news and making us crazy, too.